a person who is so appealing, so nice, but by now we know, whenever we're in that person's company, we always fail, say, in the virtue of charity. And either I'm going to go easy on that person's company, or forget it. In other words, for me to want to do God's will, even though it'll be a costly thing, I must appreciate, say, dealing with people who will be better for me morally, but less pleasant emotionally. Now, the ideal, all sisters, then you're in heaven. When you're living with good people who are all nice. But, as by now you may have found out in the religious community, there are good people who are at least not always nice. Yet to appreciate them and to appreciate God's will in my life in dealing with these people, to see behind the facade of a crude, crusty individual that turns me off. Just the way she talks. Father, you should hear her. It's always two octaves too high. The poor woman. She cannot talk on a lower level. But she irritates me that I would appreciate that person. See what God wants me to do in her regard, even though nature may push me away. That's wisdom. Understanding is knowing how to use the things of this world as means to reach the next one. In other words, understanding is the capacity that I have, which becomes an instinct as a divine gift, to know just what to say, what to do, or what not to say, or what not to do in all the many situations of daily life. How we need an instinct for that. Knowledge. Knowledge is the... Pardon me. Did I talk about understanding second? Yes. It should have been knowledge. So wisdom is the appreciation of divine things. Knowledge is, rather, how to use the things of this life as means to reaching heaven. Understanding is rather a penetration into and a deeper perception of what God has revealed. And understanding has three levels. Understanding, first of all, has intelligibility. The deeper my understanding, the more I can penetrate into the meaning of something. That is, divine things that God has revealed. I can more deeply understand the indwelling, all that we're talking about here, the meaning of grace, the real presence. Second, clarity. Understanding gives me not only greater intelligibility, the gift, but greater clarity. I more clearly grasp what God has revealed. And third, greater certitude. I am more sure that what I believe is really true. So that's the gift of understanding. Counsel is, as the name itself implies, is in the order of knowledge and gives us the capacity for giving advice, direction, otherwise known as counsel, first to ourselves and then to others. This counsel, when held in perfection, enables us first to give ourselves good advice. You know, there are some people that are remarkably good in giving advice to others. but dismal failures in directing their own lives. So much so that this gift of counsel, when it is perfect, is first direction of self and then the direction of others. I should, however, say this. This gift of counsel in those who hold a position, for example, of authority in the church, a superior, a priest, or a bishop. We believe that those people are gifted. In other words, the gift of counsel in them be especially infused, even though they may not, naturally speaking, be all that gifted in directing others, in order to enable them to direct those who are under their care. For example, a young mother, where everybody discouraged her from getting married, but she insisted she's going to get married. She's 19 years old, or as I've met them, for example, among the unwed mothers that I have dealt with, 14, 15, and yet, suppose they married. Now, of course, the gift of counsel then has to work over time, because there's a strain on nature. Because, naturally speaking, a person at that age is not all that able to give counsel to others. But the Spirit makes up. Then, the gift of fortitude, which especially enables, and this is the gift. The gift is not mere endurance, as we've already described it. That's the virtue of fortitude. The gift of fortitude enables the one who has it to not merely endure, but to endure hard things, even unto death. The gift of fortitude is the gift of the martyrs. And by the way, I think in the writings of the present Holy Father, he was just elected, was it October the 16th? So it was just November, December, January, February, March, 5 months. I'll bet in his writings and speeches, he must have referred to martyrdom 50 times, urging the faithful to be faithful to the Spirit of fortitude, especially in our day. Then the gift of piety. I dare say the most neglected of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, I suppose because of the name, piety. Some say, well, who wants to be pious anyhow? Or I'm pious enough, I don't want any more. I've got to live in the world, give me something else. No. The only reason why the word piety has taken on such bad connotations is because we're living in an unbelieving world, that to manifest any faith or religion is to be put down either as pious or, if you're too religious, as an oddball. Right? As again I found out from those five PhDs who are examining the daughters of St. Paul, whether they should approve their college. Listen to this. I'm not sure I would have done this, but it was their show, so they put it on. During the dinner, which was an extraordinarily good one, serving both the faculty, including myself, and these five, well, PhDs who were to pass judgment on the college, during the meal, there was a song. All the young pre-postulants, postulants, novices, and juniors. There must have been about 60 of them. You see, one half of the community of the Daughters of St. Paul have not taken their last vows. That's something? Out of 150 in the United States. You've got more young blood than you can wave a stick at. Their median age are somewhere in the 20s. In the United States, 29, I think. And they have good voices, and whatever they strum, whatever you call these things. So they sang a beautiful song, but it was so religious. It was Our Lord, it was St. Paul. And then Mother Paula announced, they wrote this song themselves. I thought to myself, they sure did. In any case, piety is not piousity. What's piousity?
Yeah.
Artificial piety. The essence of piety has nothing to do with what we commonly associate with that word. The essence of piety is loyalty. Loyalty. Fidelity. Loyalty to whom? Loyalty, first of all, to God, and then to everyone who, like God, has given us whatever we have. Piety is the virtue of loyalty, of fidelity, to those who have given us whatever we possess. It is, first of all, gratitude. It's appreciation. It's respect. It's wanting to somehow make up. It is that lifelong memory. Remember somebody that did you a favor way back when? In my Mass, especially when I have, though I do this regardless of the Mass, there are certain people that I remember. By the way, you people are there as a group every day at the altar. But I remember 6 Jesuits to whom I owe so much in my life. Then beginning with a man who, during college, told me what I didn't want to hear, that he thought I had a vocation. For 4 years, he kept telling me this, and I was dumb enough to believe it, until I discovered that maybe he was right. So, piety is the loyalty, first of all, to God, for all that He has given us and is and has given to our parents, teachers. I've got to bring the teachers in. And all the wonderful people that have entered our lives, correct? Except for whom we wouldn't have or be what we've got. And since it is already over time, but look, let's do this. Let's take whatever time. What are we taking? 45 minutes for lunch? And then let's then cut in, because this is, I think the doctrine is so important. Let me finish the 7th gift, then we'll take our lunch period, all right? Namely, the gift of the fear of the Lord. This is, of course, the filial fear that we have not to offend God. So this gift is not either mainly or at all the gift of fearing God just because He's going to punish us. It does not exclude that. The gift of fear, the timor domini, as we say in Latin, the fear of the Lord, is that instinct which leads us to fear mainly to offend God, and therefore to fear His just punishments. It is the fear born of love, the not wanting to offend someone to whom we owe so much and who has every claim on our love in return. Okay. Now, I have 9 after. What do you people have? Is that about it? Well, then let's take 45 minutes for the lunch. Okay? That's what we've been doing, correct? Mm-hmm. And we'll just have less time for the... because this is much too important to needlessly cut down. Let's see the answer. Just in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord...